If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Scripture reading tonight will come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. You may now be seated.
Our next song this evening will be, Are You Sowing the Seed? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? You must reap at the last great day. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?
Now our song for the lesson this evening will be, I Want to Be a Worker.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
Our invitation song after the lesson will be Trust and Obey.
Good to have you with us this Sunday evening. And Michael was supposed to preach this Sunday evening, but I found out on Friday morning that he had not had a lesson, and so I texted him, said, "Hey, you need me to go ahead and preach this Sunday night?" And he said, "Yeah, that would really be helpful," because I know he was going to be at camp all weekend and stuff. And so I thought, wonder what lesson I should do. The lazy fool. That. What's funny about that joke is that's actually Michael's joke. So he gets the bulletin and opens it up on Friday afternoon and sees the PM sermon, lazy fool. We'd had that exchange that morning. I heard that we'd talked about switching it out anyways, and we'd texted back and forth and decided I was going to preach. And so then he opens the bulletin and sees that, lazy fool, and he called me and said, "Josh, you didn't have to preach about me." But Michael is the farthest thing from a lazy fool. So he's not lazy and he's not a fool. So I think everybody knows that's not applicable at all to Michael. But it does make a funny joke. He's one of the hardest working guys that we could know. I have been thinking about this, though. So when it came available to preach this Sunday night, I thought this is something I want to do. In fact, those of you that read the articles in the paper know that I stopped writing those and said a goodbye. But I'm almost wanting to come out of retirement for one more article on this subject here. And we're experiencing, and I don't know that I do any good by preaching this sermon to this audience. That's maybe why I think about writing an article. But I do think it's something that our young people and all of us need to be reminded of. And I know, once again, that's kind of interesting because we have 10 of our young people at camp tonight, so they're not here to hear the lesson. But I think it's important for us to think about the value of work. I was doing some research on this subject in preparation for this lesson. And I think all of us have experienced that we're in our day-to-day lives a real shortage of workers in our culture. And one day, a couple weeks ago, Landon and I were driving through town, and we counted just from Wendy's all the way back to the church here, 10 different places, 9 restaurants and Lowe's that had out signs. They had a sign in the yard or on their billboard saying, "We need help, you know, we're hiring." You know, they're advertising different things, $350 monthly bonus or different things that they're advertising. They're telling how much they're paying. So we're really experiencing, and I talked to different people who've experienced things going to restaurants where they're closed and say, "Well, all of our workers are on break, so we can't serve you right now," or "We're just going to close down now." Sonic, of course, has closed down numerous lanes because they don't have enough car hops and had to go drive through. And so I did a little research too online. So we've had that anecdotal experience of us actually experiencing that and seeing that. But in a national perspective, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on June the 1st, so just a few days ago, announced that the worker shortage is critical. The CEO of the Chamber of Commerce for the U.S. has started an initiative called America Works, aimed at trying to address the deepening worker shortage crisis. The worker shortage is real, and it's getting worse by the day. The Chamber notes that the lack of workers to fill open jobs is not a new problem, but keeping our economy going requires we fill these jobs. The report also suggested removing barriers that prevent people from entering the workforce, getting individuals the skills they need to do the open positions, and trying to do other measures. In fact, it says that we have a record 8.1 million jobs open now, and in March of 2021, about half as many available workers for every open job. To me, that should be a good problem, that we have so many open jobs. But it's actually become a real serious problem because we don't have people willing to fill those jobs. There's other articles about different reasons why this is going on. There's a lot of articles over the last several months in researching this. A lot of articles came up on Google about the unemployment benefits causing worker shortage and about different states choosing to do different decisions about that. And because of the unemployment benefits have been higher, the extra $300 or so that was given, and that being a discouraging effect on people going back to work because they make more through being unemployed than they did working or getting a job. One in seven workers are not taking jobs offered because of the enhancement, because of the supplements. A labor shortage is forcing the chains like Subway, McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, and others to cut hours, close dining rooms, and push employees to work harder. Some employees that you might have talked to at fast food places or Dollar General or places like that have been working long hours, very short staffed. And so the ones that are working are having to work a lot of hours and are often not able to get the breaks they may need or the days off they may need. And so this is a real problem in our culture. It's not my intent tonight to give societal answers to that, to give political answers to that, to even talk about economic answers to that. But I think a biblical answer to these issues that is hit upon that we as Christians need to address is that we need to have a value and see the value in labor, in work. And that the Bible, as Christians, that our witness, our example, is tied to our independence as an individual from being enabled and depending upon the government, depending upon other people, depending upon the church, depending upon family, being a burden upon them when we ourselves have the ability and the opportunity to provide for ourselves. And the Bible would teach us, and we're going to study tonight, that my responsibility and each individual's responsibility is to bear their own burden, and that we do not need to be, as the Proverbs will talk about, a lazy fool. And so let's talk about the lazy fool. Before I begin, let me read a couple other things. Just quotes. "Tomorrow is the only day in the year that appeals to a lazy man," says Jimmy Lyons. Bob Hope said, "People who throw kisses are mighty hopelessly lazy." Think about that one a little bit. "Laziness is nothing more than the habit of resting before you get tired." Some people are so lazy they just rest before they get tired. And then this one, talking about the economic situation, said, "We have a system that increasingly taxes work and subsidizes non-work." And Henry Ford said, "Nobody can think straight who does not work. Idleness warps the mind." Idleness warps the mind. And so when we turn to the book of Proverbs, we notice, first of all, a condemnation of laziness. A condemnation of laziness. Let's turn back to the book of Proverbs and notice in chapter 6, 6 through 11. "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Proverbs uses the animal analogy of going to the ant, and refers to how ants are always busy working and constantly busy and diligent in their efforts, and how we are not to be lazy. We are to be preparing our bread in the summer and gathering her food in the harvest like the ant. And we're not to lie around and be lazy and sleeping and just resting all the time. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 5, the Bible says, "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 15. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Slothfulness cast into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Slothfulness cast into a deep sleep, but an idle person will suffer hunger. When you think about what the Proverbs writer is saying, he's saying that we ought to, as Christians, and as principles in the Old Testament for life, we ought to be a hard-working person who is diligent to provide for our own necessities and needs. Now, in this culture, it was agricultural-based, and so what he's saying is, you need to be willing to get out and plant your own food, and you need to be willing to harvest your own food. You need to be willing to get out and work for it. When you think about how easy we have it compared to what they had to do, when they had to go and each day get their water, they had to prepare a fire each day to cook over. We just go and turn on the microwave and put in 1 minute or something. We just turn on the oven. But you think about the effort. Some of us that have been to El Salvador remember how they had to go to a lot of effort to prepare a meal, and how effort goes into starting that fire and cooking over open flames, and the effort that is required to go and get the water. And you think about it, that's what they were dealing with at that time. And he's saying that you need to be the kind of person who's going to provide for yourself and not always going to be dependent upon someone else to take care of you. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the passage that Michael read, the Bible would say, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness or laziness, not busy at work, but being busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." The Bible condemns such laziness. It condemns laziness, Proverbs 10, verse 5, because it causes shame or reproach upon you. It's an embarrassment to be lazy. It is a condemnation because it is associated with sleep, Proverbs 6, 9 through 10. And that is, it is connected with just being lazy. You're just resting all the time and not doing and being diligent in your work. It's accompanied with excuses. Turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 13. Proverbs 22. The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside, and I shall be killed in the streets." The idea is that he makes excuses of why he will not get up and go to work and get out and do something. Well, there's a lion out there. There's a beast out there that's going to get me. In Proverbs 26, 13 through 16, the Bible says, the sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges," this is a pretty interesting proverb, "as a door moves on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed." He's just tossing and turning, rolling over, not getting up and doing anything. "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth." He gets tired just shoveling the fork to his mouth. "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." So it's accompanied with excuses. People can make a lot of excuses of why they are lazy. The condemnation of laziness. And it is motivated by pride. It's motivated by the idea that I want to do what I want to do. I don't have to work. I think there's a lot of connection with this and application with this in our culture today, of people wanting to do a job that's always fulfilling and makes them happy and gives them purpose. And they're not willing to do a job just for the sake of this job has to be done and I need the money. I need to get paid to do this job. And so it's talking about that laziness can be motivated by pride, by arrogance. And so notice the product of laziness. So we talked about the condemnation of it. But notice what laziness will produce. It will produce poverty. In chapter 6, back to our original thoughts, original verse, back in verse 11, "And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Now, we have a lot of assistance programs and that often keep the poverty they would have experienced coming upon us, at least to the level that they would have. But you think about what the Proverbs are talking about, what Paul is talking about in 2 Thessalonians. Though in the Roman culture there, they didn't have a system like we do of providing such a welfare system. And Paul says, if a man won't work, neither let him eat. That's poverty. Back in ancient Israel, if they were poor, what did they have to do? They had to go out, and like Ruth and Naomi, they had to go out and glean the corners of the field. They had to get what was left over, what was dropped. Now, if they didn't go do that, if they were so lazy they wouldn't go out and pick up the leftovers, then they were hungry. And what the Proverbs is saying is that the product of laziness is serious, severe poverty. Another product of it is you become a burden on others. Someone has to provide for your meal. You know, I've heard it said that there's really no such thing in this world as a free meal. And at first I thought, well, that's not true. I've eaten a lot of free meals. And I try to eat as many as I can. But if you think about that, it's true, isn't it? Because somebody had to provide for that meal. Somebody had to provide for that meal. It cost somebody something. And if I'm eating the meals, it's costing somebody. And so I'm putting a burden on others. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, the Bible says, "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him." Well, think about a worker who you send him out to do a job, and he just lays around and doesn't get the job done and wastes time and tears stuff up. Well, that's what the proverb writer is talking about here. It's like throwing vinegar in your teeth. It's just sour, bitter tasting, and putting smoke in your eyes. It's just a real deterrent. I've talked to some people that have struggling with this worker shortage, and talk about how some people will come in, and a guy worked at a factory the other day was telling me about how their experience, and they had hired, I think he said like 14 or 15, and they had to go through the training, and after they went through like the week or two of training, they had gone down to two. Only like two made it through the training. Well, think about being the HR person and the training person who's trying to get these workers. They need workers. They need employees. And this is what you're stuck with. This is what you're dealing with. It's putting a burden on others. It's a frustration and hardship on others. In chapter 20, verse number 4, it says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek a harvest and have nothing." So he doesn't plow when you're supposed to be plowing, but rather he still wants a harvest to come. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, when he's talking about who the church is supposed to take care of, it says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So if I'm, as a father, not providing for my family, then it's a spiritual issue that's a sin before God. And if I'm negligent in that and not caring about that, it even says here that it's like I am denying the faith. And Paul makes this statement, is worse than an unbeliever. I'm bringing such shame on the church and upon my own Christian life that it's as if I'm an unbeliever. And so we need to take seriously this idea of not being a burden on others, but providing for others, providing for ourselves, excuse me. In Galatians chapter 6, I don't have this on the PowerPoint, but in the book of Galatians, when he's talking about our burdens, and he says in chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. We have a responsibility of helping out one another. We had a good discussion in Ronnie's class this morning about the issue of kindness and love and consideration. And in the one of the statements in Aubrey Johnson's book was on this issue of we are commanded and we have the responsibility of bearing one another's burdens, of helping out one another, but we are not to enable someone so that we do for them what they can do for themselves. And we were talking about, and different illustrations were used, about how that can be a challenge. You know, a parent doing that and not enabling a grown child. You want to help them out, but you can't do everything that they need to do. And then we were talking about it, even how it goes with when you have aging parents who are struggling with their health, how you need to be there to help them, but you also can't do everything for them because they've got to get back up and do the rehab and get better themselves. Well, that's what Paul's talking about. He says we need to bear one of those burdens, but notice in this passage, he goes on and he continues to say, verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. So there's also a responsibility for every person to bear our own load. We ought to appreciate it when other people help us, and every one of us are going to have times in our life where we're going to need the help of others. But that should not be the norm. We ought to want to bear our own loads as well. We ought to want to make sure that we're doing our part to not be lazy and to bear our own load. And then the product of laziness is also the way of the lazy man is difficult. Back in the book of Proverbs chapter 15, it says the way of the lazy man is hard or difficult. And the way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. I think that this is something that many don't understand, how difficult it is if they have only known this. If they have been raised in a situation where this is what their parents did and this is what they've seen, they often, I think, don't realize how it is difficult. It is hard. And as parents, we need to realize that we need to be modeling a good example of stewardship, of hard work, to show to our children and show to the next generation that there is a better way than laziness. Laziness may be appealing, it may be tempting, but it's going to come with a lot of problems of shame, of poverty, being a burden and embarrassment on yourself and others and your family, and it has a lot of difficulty. And so the product of laziness is poverty, a burden on others, and difficulty. But notice the solution to laziness. The solution to laziness. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, without having any chief, officer, or ruler, talking about the ant again, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. What does the ant represent? Well, the ant represents self-discipline. That ant is doing what it's supposed to be doing. It is self-discipline, and it doesn't have to have a chief, officer, or ruler, but it goes about preparing her bread and gathering her food. We could use other examples from nature, but they do things out of a need and necessity of survival. They're disciplined. When it comes to our own lives, we need to be disciplined in our work ethic. Author Jackson Brown Jr. quipped, talent without discipline is like an octopus on roller skates. There's plenty of movement, but you never know if it's going to be forward, backwards, or sideways. I think there's a lot of truth to that, right? You've seen people and you see young people sometime that have gone to college for a little while and you think, man, they got a lot of talent, but it's just not going in any direction. I mean, sometimes it goes in this direction, sometimes it goes in that direction, and then all of a sudden we're reversing and going back another direction. And it's like there's no focus. There's no discipline. We need to have self-discipline. We need to be goal-oriented and develop and follow our priorities to stay on task till a job is finished. A disciplined lifestyle should be our goal of having a regular schedule and habits as a part of our life. The solution to laziness is often getting up, getting active, doing things. Laziness, rest, can breed more laziness. And we have to interrupt that cycle with discipline and with making ourselves get busy and do things we need to be doing. And thus, we need to understand the solution to laziness is responsibility. We have a responsibility to ourselves, to the church, to the Lord, to use our talents and ability. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 5, he who gathers in the summer is a prudent son, a wise son. But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. In chapter 19, verse 24, the Bible says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. You have a responsibility in this context here. You have a responsibility to feed yourself, to take advantage of that. There's a verse in the Gospel of Luke where our Lord is speaking, and he talks about this issue. And he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, but the one who did not know and did what was deserving of beating will receive a light beating. And notice this, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. For from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. I like to say that's basically a math problem there that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the idea that if we have the opportunity plus the ability. Notice what he's saying. Everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. We have the opportunity, plus we have the ability. Then it equals the responsibility. Now that's true in church work. That's true in our families. That's true in our responsibility to provide for ourselves. If we have the opportunity, and if we have the ability, then we understand that sometimes we're not going to have one of those. There's going to be times in our life, and there's times in certain people's life where they do not have the ability. We understand that if they don't have the ability, then there's not that stewardship and responsibility. There's times we may not have the opportunity. Sometimes we're not given an opportunity. Sometimes we're not availed it. Maybe we, for whatever reason, just can't do that. We don't have the opportunity. So if we don't have the opportunity or if we don't have the ability, then we should not feel guilty because we don't have the responsibility. But if we do have the opportunity and we do have the ability, then that gives us a responsibility. You know, I would say that as we think about the church here going forward, and we think about always transitioning in terms of the work that's getting done and the need for different works to get done, from our benevolent work to our mission work efforts to leadership issues with future elders and deacons to Bible class teachers to doing things around the building to our vacation Bible school, which is coming up, or our day camp, which is coming up, to all these chaperones, bus drivers. I mean, on and on we go. Here's the thing. You may be sitting there thinking, who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? Well, here's the thing. Do you have the opportunity to do it? Do you have the ability to do it? You may not be the best person. We can sometimes make these excuses and say, well, they're so-and-so over there, they are better at it than me. They may be better at it than you. But maybe they don't have the opportunity to do it right now. Maybe we need more than one person doing it. Maybe they need a break from doing it. Don't make excuses because you may feel like you're not the best. Or maybe you say, well, I haven't ever done that before. Or I don't feel like I am capable of doing that. But here's the thing. Put yourself out there. That's when your faith grows. You know why we make these announcements and we say we're having this and we need these volunteers? and we say we need a volunteer, what we're saying is we need you. We need you. That's not talking about the person sitting beside of you. That's talking about you. That's the opportunity. Now, it's up to you to figure out if you have the ability, and it's up for the Lord to put it on your heart to give you the responsibility. But that's the way it is when it comes to issues in the church. That's the way it is when it comes to our families. That's the way it comes with our jobs and the work we have. We need to support our family. If I have the opportunity and the ability, then I have the responsibility of getting out there and working and providing for my family, working in the church. The solution to laziness is being responsible. And finally, the solution to laziness is hard work. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam that a part of his punishment was going to be the having to work with the sweat of his brow. He was going to have to till the garden and be a farmer. It was going to be hard work. A part of this nature of the world we live in is that God has made it so that work is hard and that work is often a challenge, but there's a blessing in that. And so one of the solutions to this is that we have to be willing to dig our hands in and put in that extra effort and do the job that other people don't want to do. I was talking to some other men, and we were talking about our high school students and college students, and talking about if they, the bar isn't too high, that if they are willing to work hard, if they're willing to put in the effort, they can be successful in this culture. That all it takes in this culture is being willing to work hard, to have some relationship skills, to get out there and put effort in. Because there's so many people who aren't willing to do these three things. They're not willing to be self-disciplined. They're not willing to be responsible. They're not willing to work hard. And that if your children will learn these lessons and have these values, they're going to excel. And I don't know the percentage, but they're going to excel a high, significant percentage above the rest of the workforce, above the rest of the people out there, because they have these intangibles, these valuable things. And so the solution to laziness, and let me say this, Christians ought to be the best workers. It ought not be that business people are saying, well, I'm just a little nervous about hiring a Christian. I'm a little nervous about hiring that person. If that person is a Christian, they ought to be the best worker. They ought to be a person of integrity, a person of honest values and hard work. The solution to laziness is self-discipline, responsibility, and hard work. Let me share a couple final applications. First of all, we must instill these virtues in our children. We must make sure that it's our responsibility to train them through chores, through other type means, to be a hard worker. Hard worker for the Lord, hard worker at home, to have responsibility and to understand that they need to be self-disciplined. And then we must also understand, as I was just speaking to, that we must never be lazy in our work and effort for the Lord. In John chapter 9, Jesus is talking, and he's talking about in the context of the blind man and the blind man being healed. And in chapter 9, verse number 4, he says this, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work." Jesus says there's a limited time on our work. We don't know how long we have here for the Lord's work. We've got to put effort in now. In Matthew 25, the story of the parable of the talents, the emphasis upon that is once again, the man who had the five talent, the man who had the two talent, the man who had the one talent, the emphasis is, did you use your talents? If you had the opportunity and you had the ability, then that man had the responsibility, and the Lord held him accountable for how he used his talents. And so it's serious for us to think about how we use our talents. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Remember that we're ultimately serving the Lord. The Lord is ultimately our boss, and we want to serve Him and please Him. I hope that this lesson has been helpful to think about, and it's been applicable to the things that we're seeing in our culture. That all of us will think about the example we're giving when it comes to our laziness and when it comes to our hard work. Let's extend the Lord's invitation. If there's someone here that needs to put Christ on in baptism, we'd love to assist you in doing that tonight. If someone needs to be restored to the church or need prayers of the church, please come as together we stand and as we sing.